And so, Father, this morning as we dive into your word, and to some degree it's going to talk about these very things in relationship, but Father, we pray that you just open it up to us, have us see what you'd have us to see, and again that we have a passion for your word and a passion for you. And all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, this morning we come to the end of really of our study. We went through 1 Corinthians, and then we've slowly made our way through 2 Corinthians, and here we are in the last chapter of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13. So I'm going to read it through. There's not a lot of verses to it, so to get it all in context, I'd just like to read it all the way through. I really encourage you to follow along with me. If you have brought your own Bibles, please open them up to chapter 13 of 2 Corinthians. If you don't have a Bible, there's one right in front of you or near you, or someone will get you one. And I encourage you to be in the Word and go along with me. This is the third time I am coming to you. Every fact is to be confirmed by the testimony of two or three witnesses. I have previously said, when present the second time, and though now absent, I say in advance to those who have sinned in the past and to all the rest as well, that if I come again, I will not spare anyone. Since you are seeking for proof of the Christ who speaks in me and who is not weak toward you, but mighty in you. For indeed he was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God. For we are weak in him, yet we will live with him because of the power of God directed toward you. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ, and look at the next three words there, church, is in you. Unless indeed you fail the test. But I trust that you will realize that we ourselves do not fail the test. Now we pray to God that you do no wrong, not that we ourselves may appear approved, but that you may do what is right, even though we may appear unapproved. For we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. For we rejoice when we ourselves are weak, but you are strong. This we also pray for, that you be made complete. For this reason, I am writing these things while absent, so that when present, I need not use severity in accordance with the authority which the Lord gave me for building up and not for tearing down. Finally, brethren, rejoice. Be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You know, when it comes to parenting, there comes a time, probably in every child's life, when patience on the parent's part ends and accountability begins for that child. In thinking about throughout Scripture in the Old Testament, is we see a number of issues that crop up between a parent and a child relationship. There's always those little challenges. You know, we just think of them. You know, we've got, you know, David and Solomon. And we studied this morning Jacob and his children. And, you know, there's all these challenges when it comes to child rearing. We think of even back in the garden with Adam and Eve. They walked with the Father in the cool of the day. They had that fellowship with him. And then something broken because they wanted to do their own way. And so there's trouble when it comes to handling children, isn't there? And so if there's all this that we find even in the realm of Scripture, why do we think that it's a piece of cake for us today? And it's not. You know, I think the sentiment that Paul is feeling here about the church here in Corinth, because he sees a church here that if you recall, he's the one that really birthed this church. He started it, and now he sees this church really kind of going off on the deep end. I mean, the believers are there, but there's some things kind of going wrong. And here we find that he's just about had it with them. And you know, sometimes, even though God is patient with this and his children, there comes a time when the patience ends and accountability begins. And that's what we're going to look at as we study here this morning in 2 Corinthians, examining really ourselves, bringing a little bit of accountability into our lives as we examine what we really believe. And looking here in this last chapter of 2 Corinthians is right off the bat, as Paul says, this is the third time I am coming to you. Every fact is to be confirmed by the testimony of two or three witnesses. I have previously said when present the second time, and though now absent, I say in advance to those who have sinned in the past and to all the rest as well, that if I come again, I will not spare anyone. Now, Paul here, he's referencing, it's coming from an Old Testament, he's referencing Deuteronomy chapter 19, and he refers to finding out the truth in court and that, you know what, you really can't rely on one person's say, one person's testimony. And Paul uses the fact that he's already addressed the issue twice before in person, and now again he's doing it the third time in this letter. You know, a few weeks back, I was getting some things out of, actually, I was working on a light up there in that upstairs storage room. Many of you are familiar with that storage room. It's got that low, short door. And I open the door, and I go in there, and I smack the top of my head on the top of that door jamb. So, anyway, it hurt. But I go back down into the basement to do something else, and I run back upstairs, and I'm running, or not running, I'm walking across that top, and wouldn't you know it, I smack my head a second time, right there. That time it left a dent. Do you ever mess up something repeatedly? I mean, just whatever it is. You know I have in my own life, you know, things go wrong. I can't seem to get it through my thick head. And there's times when then I'll hear a verse or a teaching and then it just hits me right square in the head. You know, God reminding me again. You know? And it does seem that the more that we resist, the harsher that those reminders tend to get, don't they? And we as parents, we experience that ourselves. It used to be you could buy a gallon of milk came in a cardboard box. I mean, I don't know if it did out west here. I know back east it did, but the milk was in a cardboard box. And as a kid, you'd reach into the refrigerator and you'd pull it out and you'd want to grab it with two hands and not one on the top because the top would always tear. And you'd pull it out and tear, boom, milk everywhere. And mom would say, how many times have I got to tell you, don't grab the milk like that. It's that repeated thing. You know, kids, especially little ones, it seems that they thrive on doing exactly the opposite of what they're told. And I think it's in part to the stubborn nature of our independence. And when we grow up, of course, we no longer have that stubborn streak, do we? Right. When it comes to the children of God, they can also be stubborn. And as Moses, as he was giving the law to the Israelites, knowing this their stubbornness, he said this to them in Leviticus chapter 26, 18 through 20. He said, if also after these things you do not obey me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. I will also break down your pride of power. I will also make your sky like iron and your earth like bronze. Your strength will be spent uselessly, for your land will not yield its produce, and the trees of the land will not yield their fruit. You know, God, he has some ways to get their attention, and he had to get their attention because they weren't listening. And that happens to us. Also, now God's not going to make your garden fail necessarily, but he has other ways to make himself heard. Sometimes I think he makes himself heard by not being heard at all in our sense of unanswered prayer, or times of dryness really that happens in our relationship and or fellowship with Him. You know, or the habit of everything that we hear seems to have something to do with whatever it is that I'm dealing with. And here Paul is saying to these guys, he says, but you haven't been listening. Don't make me come in there. You know. Verse 2, if I come again, I will not spare anyone. Since you are seeking for proof of the Christ who speaks in me and who is not weak toward you, but mighty in you. Paraphrase, he's saying, if you haven't straightened up by the time I get in there, you better look out. You know, because the gloves are going to come off, boys. And I wouldn't want to be in that position that these 2 Corinthian believers are in. And I think for us, the key is for us to be open to God's correction. And if we're open to God's correction, well, you're going to save yourselves a whole lot of trouble. And the trouble that's awaiting some of those that are in Corinth wasn't something that they could have any defense for, because it would be by the power of God that's taking place. And I constantly, as you know, working through it, reminding myself, this is a church that Paul started, and yet, to a degree, it's turned on him. Who is not weak toward you, but mighty in you? For indeed he was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God. For we also are weak in him, yet we will live with him because of the power of God directed toward you. The model that we have of Jesus Christ becomes this one of submission to the Father, and then it's channeling his power to accomplish his will. Now, Paul's saying here that, you know, we might not seem that impressive, but make no mistake, you know, that same power of Jesus Christ resides in us. You know, we've been prayed about the fire that's taking place in California right now. You know, it's one thing if you have like a little grass fire that takes place and, you know, it's kind of going on and you can get a handle on that right away. But when you have a fire that's an inferno that's happening, well, then you discover you don't have the resources to deal with it. And the false apostles that are there in Corinth, they had a taste of power. They thought that they could match Paul, and especially how weak he seemed. But they had no idea of what kind of power really worked through Paul. And it's an overwhelming force, and it's an overwhelming force that they couldn't handle. And when it comes down to it, those that are sure in their faith in Jesus would be okay when following the true gospel. But those that are playing around with power and spiritual authority and making it up as they go along in order to gain for themselves, well, then they need to look out. Test yourselves. See if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? But I trust that you will realize that we ourselves do not fail the test. What is this? Well, when you think about it, the Corinthians, they'd been testing Paul as to his authority as an apostle. Again, this is a church he started. And it's time here for Paul. What he does is he turns the tables. Time for a little self-examination to take place for the Corinthian Christians here. And the thing is, the test, it's not a multiple choice test of whether you can name all the Old Testament books or if you can name all the apostles or stuff like that. It was a call for them to look into themselves and to ask a question. Am I really a believer or not? You know, if they relied on the gospel, you know, that the good news of Jesus Christ, that gospel we find in 1 Corinthians 15, you know, the 1 through 3, Jesus, he died for our sins. He was dead, really dead, and buried, and he rose again. That is it. It's all in a nutshell right there for us. If they relied on that gospel, then Jesus lived in them and it was changing their lives. But if they failed on instead on this in this new gospel that's being proclaimed here, that these false apostles brought, well then there what happens is there's things that come into question. And folks, I think we're still facing that battle even today. You know. And I don't think this is a debate here whether or not a Christian can lose their salvation or not. That's a discussion for another day. But Paul's trying to really, he's goading the Corinthians here to think about the basics. Shake them up a little bit on this stupor of awe that they're having over this false gospel that's being presented to them. I mean, if some of the battlegrounds that you face today isn't necessarily that you're trying to share to an unbeliever the gospel, sometimes a battleground is you're trying to share something to someone who's got a false gospel, a false understanding of what the Word of God says. Verse 7, now we pray to God that you do no wrong. Not that we ourselves may appear approved, but that you may do what is right, even though we may appear unapproved, for we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. You know, Paul, he's saying here that, you know, we're not out to be shown successful because you're successful, because that's a worldly way of looking at things and doing things, and it's just what these false apostles were doing. Now, we may get trounced on, but as long as we're moving in a forward direction in our walk with the Lord, that's all that matters to us. As long as we keep moving forward. You know, and that's really the hallmark of a good leader who puts the needs of the body above his own needs to be shown successful. You know, in our world today, it's by big numbers, big dollars, and prestige. And I know pastors who toil in total obscurity whose heart is for the health of the sheep, not the welfare of the pastor. And I admire and aspire to be of that same character as those men. And Paul here, he finishes up this thought. For we rejoice when we ourselves are weak, but you are strong. This we also pray for, that you be made complete. For this reason I am writing these things while absent, so that when present I need not use severity in accordance with the authority which the Lord gave me for building up and not tearing down. Paul here, we see here, he's different from these false apostles. You know, they were, what they're doing, they're using authority to gain disciples, whereas Paul, he uses weakness in order to build the body. And he uses authority. When Paul uses authority, it's always, we see it as a last resort. Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. To be made complete. You know, that Greek in there, it's to show improvement. It's to put yourselves in order. Get your things in order. And the idea here, it's to fix something that's broken. And the Corinthians, they needed to recognize here that, you know what, there's something that's not quite right. There's something a little bit askew. And to listen to Paul's words of wisdom, to listen to his godly direction instead of hurting each other by division. And he calls them to be like-minded, to be of one mind, to live in peace. Now, if we would just take those words and take them all to heart, if we would recognize when we've strayed, that we would get godly counsel, seek for the unity of the body of Christ. And I know that word unity is really getting kind of weird today. That that's when we see God's love and his peace flourish in our lives, and we see it happen in the church. Verse 12. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Well, some concluding thoughts really on this last chapter of this particular book is this, that God, he's patient, isn't he? But you know, there does come a time for accountability. And for us not to confuse God's patience with his acceptance of our behavior. Just because something hasn't happened yet, you know. God doesn't punish, he disciplines. And we need to remember that, you know, he disciplines those that he loves. I mean, when you're getting a spanking, know that he loves you in it. You know. The presence of God's discipline doesn't signal the absence of his grace. You know, he cares about you. You are on his mind. He is showing you favor. If you find yourself in continual disobedience, then it's time to question the strength of your faith. To be open to correction from a trusted brother or sister. You know, none of us, me included, never like to have a wrong pointed out about ourselves, do we? But you know what? We need to find that trusted brother or sister sometimes to just kind of help us see it the right way. You know, some of the overall thoughts as we conclude 2 Corinthians here is the book really, it sums up the classic struggle between the world system and the Lord's character. And what happens when the world infiltrates the Christian community? What happens? Well, what happens is there happens to be confusion over leadership, confusion over authority and accountability. There comes confusion over what it means to be changed. You know, turn back with me just for a moment here. I'm going off script a little bit. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, highlight it if you need to. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. You're new. We can't be the same. If we are a Christian, there is something different. You won't stay the same. What happens when the world infiltrates the Christian community is we equate power with authority, when the real power comes from weakness and submission. You know, when you think about Christ, we're told in his word that there was nothing that would draw us to him physically. He could walk in this room and there would be nothing that would really set him apart from anyone else. He would look just like everybody else. You know, when the world infiltrates the Christian community, what happens is then we start taking on worldly attitudes and ways. You know, the work of God in us stops. We can even become confused on who Jesus is. And what happens is we end up being a pawn to be used by the enemy. So what do we do? Well, it's to be discerning of the difference between the world and the Lord. You know, we had some training last week, and Ryan Ward, I was going to use somebody else's name, but Ryan Ward was there, and we kind of talked about the word discernment. He says he wasn't quite sure how to put a definition to it when we start talking about discernment. But it did cause me to kind of sit there and think about that word discernment. If you were to look it up, it says to comprehend what is obscure, that would be the definition. But I got to thinking about it. Discernment really is, in our 21st century, we use words like, you know, being situationally aware. Are you situationally aware? You know, I've got some of my grandkids, I think, struggle with this. But as adults, we can become unaware of what's going on around us. And I would say we need to be spiritually aware. We're told really to be alert. Pay attention. As believers, pay attention to what's happening in our world today. You know, discern the difference between the world and the Lord. Be open to God's instructions and corrections that are in your life. Be submissive to Him. Working through your weakness, and we work through our weakness with His power. Be loving to others in the church. I hate to say it, sometimes that can be a challenge. You know, it's like we talk about brandings and things in Montana, and I said, boy, the brandings would be a whole lot more fun if it wasn't for all the cows. You know, and we can say within the church, maybe the church would be a whole lot more fun if it wasn't for all the people. But that's what it is. It's people. And we're all kind of messed up, and we all got our little warts and foibles. I got a bunch of them. You know, but to be loving to the others in the church, always seeking to build them up, you know, not to tear them down. I know that can be, and again, it can be that challenge, but we're to build one another up. And sometimes we don't like to hear the things that need to be said. You know, maybe we need to preface it. I'm about to say something. Are you willing to hear it? You know, that sort of thing. But to be that. And so I encourage you, again, as we finish the 2 Corinthians for now, and again, I've got 34 years to get all the way through the Bible. I don't think I'm going to make it. But we're going to try. Well, Father, we do give you the praise and glory. And Lord, we know so many times that we get sucked into the things that are happening in the world, and it takes us away from the truth of your word, from you, and we can be so distracted. Sometimes we're not paying attention. Lord, I pray for each one here that you would give them a double dose of discernment. Help them to be spiritually aware of what's going on around them, not get sucked into the things of the world. Father, that you would use each one of us mightily for your kingdom. To use us mightily right here in Libby, Montana, again, all the little spheres of influence that we have here, whether it's the snack shack or Awana or just at our out and about in this community. Father, that you would put the words in our mouth. Father, give us a passion for your word. May we not stray too far from it. And help it to stick in our minds, myself included, as we give you all praise and glory in the name of our Lord and Savior. Amen.